Roland Smith with Carl Sabatino. And Carl, you remember, I think it was last week or the week before, we had Alan Marcus, a political analyst, on as a guest.
Could never forget
and
Alan.
And he referred to something that that I had said to him a while back about what I see and what I feel when I mow a small meadow on my property.
Yes.
So I decided the other day, because you know I always carry a little small digital tape recorder with me.
Correct.
And because you never know who you're going to meet, we find some interesting people that way to talk to.
That's correct.
And so I took my little digital recorder with me on my mower. and here's the result.
Oh, here we go.
Well, Carl, I'm just about to mow a meadow on my property. It's been a while since I've mowed. We've had a lot of rain. Normally, I cut the grass to about 4 inches, but now everything is well over 14 inches, and the field is filled with wildflowers. It's beautiful. There are daisies and buttercups, lavender, lily of the valley, bluets, forget-me-nots, bachelor buttons. The meadow is just speckled with color. Some flowers are tall and some are short. They're broad leaves and thin leaves and all sizes in between. And in a minute I will mow them with some sadness. I wonder how often that happens to people, especially young people, who are cut off by the blade of opinion. Parents, teachers, social conditions often inhibit individuality before it can flower into its creative potential. How many great discoveries have we cut in the bud by saying we don't do it that way? How many creative geniuses have we stifled because mom or dad went to that school and so should you, or you'll make more money doing this than that? How many hearts have we broken or bent in saying you must, you should, you better? It's too bad that we don't always let the unending field of human hopes and wishes flower into its individual greatness. You know, Carl, it's just a thought while mowing. Now, did you realize, Carl, that you can have that kind of profundity when you're mowing a meadow?
Absolutely not. Ah, that's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And what it, well, you know what it speaks to as we think through this, as my head was listening to it, you refer to the, it's almost as if you are living in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that our young people today don't seem to grasp, unfortunately, is living in the moment is more important today than it has ever been. And I'm saying that because I believe it. I believe it to the core of my of the hole in my shoes, as my father used to say.
Believing it and being it is one thing.
Yes.
How do you teach it to the young today?
It is not easy because they do not understand the scope of all of it. And in that meadow is the scope of all of it. And that is sad.
Mm-hmm.
They are too one-dimensional, locked into the texting and bad spelling, which drives me absolutely nuts. But more importantly, the lack of communication and the ability to be able to look out down the road and not just see down the road, but understand the moment they're in by looking down the road.
Well, that old phrase, you know, take time to smell the roses,
smell
I think
roses.
Is very, very important. You know, there have been many researchers as well as people who deal with death and dying who have been told certain things on an individual's deathbed of what they wish they had done in their life.
Yes.
And, you know, there are things like, you know, I wish I had the courage to live the life that I wanted to do and not what somebody else wanted me to do. Or I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Or I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. You know, all of these things. I think these are the kind of courses, I think, that not only grade schools, but high schools and colleges should be teaching each day, or at least offering it for those who have that kind of passion and want to have that visceral and feeling of what it's like to be observant and feel the, what would you call it, the all that is.
I remember Sister Mary Margaret used to say, imagine what it's like to be an ant. Imagine what it's like to be an ant. And now try that, and when you think about it, imagine what it's like to be a, and then when we could not absolutely conceive of that because we were only in the fifth grade, imagine what it's like to be a small person, a very tiny person. In other words, use your imagination. One of the great things about it, I had the pleasure, as you know, many years ago, meeting Walt Disney. And I was told a story recently about a man who actually went to the opening of Disney World and found Walt Disney sitting at the one of their little soda fountains having a chocolate soda or whatever it may have been. And he said, "You found me." He was being a kid again. And he knew how to do that. You know, he knew how to translate that being a kid again into his remarkable, remarkable earlier works, Fantasia and so on, to imagine to be, okay? And we don't seem to have much of that. Though what I do notice that if we allow our children to be like that, they will come to it automatically by us stopping them from being those imagined, wonderful, creative things that little children are as they come up in the world. And I've got a young one, as you know. We allow her to be that, whatever she may want to be. Just imagine it.
Well, I sometimes think that the scheduling of play dates inhibits the child's imagination.
Yes.
My mother used to say, you know, go outside and play. And we had a driveway that was dirt.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of little small cars, and you made little rivers and bridges, and you had a good time, and you spent about 5 or 6 hours.
Correct, but we created. I used to have roller skates and roller skates for trains. I remember that, and I made those trains into roller skate. Those roller skates I used to tie them together, and they were a long train, eight of them going down my bed. As a matter of fact,
what does a child do growing up in Greenwich Village when you're, let's say, 7, 8 years old? I mean, you don't have dirt to go play in,
but you had characters, and that's the thing that I miss most. And most people in this world, they were characters. They were.
What do you mean by characters?
It was Bohemian America at its finest. Whether you could be whatever you wanted to be in Greenwich Village. Someone called it a closet in a house hidden in the woods. And you have to find the woods and then the house and then the closet. And it wasn't a closet relevant to today's sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. It was the closet where you can go in there and be. People used to dress in strange costumes way back in the 50s, and no one cared. No one cared what you were. You could just be whatever you wanted to be. And they used to come to Greenwich Village to be that. And that's what those are the people we would play with. That was the environment we grew up in, this wonderful world of characters who would talk to you on a stoop for hours about Russia, about the theater, about art, about politics.
Were these immigrants?
These were longstanding, to use the term, Americans who had been in this country. Most of them came from outside Greenwich Village, from Indiana, from Missouri, from California. Regardless of where they came from, they came to this quiet place. Because this place allowed them to be who they were. And they could be children, they could be old, they could be young. And it was a world of creation. A large Italian, Jewish, and other immigrants had moved into the community. We learned to live with others, not judge, live with them.
I think that that's true, though, in rural America, where I grew up.
Of course it is.
Small-town America.
Yes.
I mean, we had people of different nationalities. The names were... Max and Shaq is one that I can remember from, and they came from the Ukraine. And their children were just like the rest of us.
You know, and today they're from Central and South America and Asia and Brazil and gosh knows where else, and they come to America to be, okay? And this environment, I played in it, you did, you in rural America, me in urban New York City, we played in the environment... Okay, in a world that allowed us to grow.
You know, speaking of growing, as I got older, the kind of jobs that I would have in the summer would be like helping a farmer move hay off of his field.
Yes.
And then swimming in a small pond or a river.
Well, that's where they would send those city kids up to the country to learn how to, I can chuck hay with the best of them.
Yeah,
learned
right.
How to ride a horse when
you
I was 12.
You used to think you could.
Yeah.
Well, were you sent away in the summertime?
Yes, absolutely.
Where did you go? Besides reform school.
Lake Placid, New York.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Saranac Lake, Florida. Yes, absolutely. To work and learn and then come home.
Were you at camp or was it?
Camp, yes, camp. Camp. And but they were more functional.
And how long was that? About 4 weeks?
2 to 4 weeks. Two to 4 weeks.
Well, I guess that still happens today in many situations.
It does, but it was a growth experience, and I loved every minute of it. It gave me a chance to grow. And
you've not stopped growing.
I haven't stopped growing since, and I keep right on going.
All right.
Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we continue to grow. We're back.
Have you heard? Proactiv is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactiv, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactiv works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactiv risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer, plus free shipping. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and free shipping ends soon. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-583-8588. That's 1-800-583-8588.